Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Born Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I want to know if anyone's listening to this podcast while they're in Japan. You know, now it's open. You know, people going to Japan. Are they listening to the podcast? Are they continuing their Abroad in Japan podcast journey while they're strolling around the Japanese countryside? That's what I would like to know.
I mean, I was on a walk around Sendai the other night, and a really nice chap from, I think it was Czech Republic, was like freaking out that he saw me just wandering around at night, because he was just come over right for his holiday,
yeah,
and he couldn't believe that he'd run into me, which is kind of cool, right? I love that. And I've run into so many kind of foreign tourists over the last few weeks in Tokyo. It's nice. It's in one respect, yes, it's good for your ego to be like, well, yes, I am Chris Broad. But it's just nice that Japan's open, life's back to normal. It's wonderful. It's lovely. I'm loving it. What I'm not loving is I'm in so much pain right now. Because I'm doing this boxing training, I keep like ripping both my left and right arm muscles off. Because when you're constantly punching, right, you pull your muscles so hard. And is there enough? There must be a better way. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself. And in the training today, the guy that I'm training with, Nicholas Pettas, the former kickboxing champion of Japan, built like Hercules himself, he punched me in the stomach 20 times, right, as part of my practice. He called it conditioning.
conditioning.
Fuck off.
Yeah,
he just wanted to punch me.
Can I punch you in the stomach, please? Yeah, lovely stuff. Was he crying and then shouting about his dad at the same time? Fuck you, dad!
Honestly, and what made it worse is yesterday I went surfing, right? And when you surf, you're constantly slamming your body down onto the board, and my whole stomach was bruised like fuck. It's right. Like craters of pain. Punching those bruises that I'd got from surfing. And it's just getting ridiculous. And surfing to surf, right, you don't really use your legs that much. You use all your arm power, right, to move, because your legs are on the board. My arms are screwed. And then the day before that, I was boxing again. So it's boxing, surfing, boxing, more boxing, and then boxing again, probably surfing. All of this fitness stuff, what am I doing? I'm putting myself through absolute hell. I don't know if it's worth it. Hopefully it'll be worth it. But I'm feeling a lot better about myself. And yeah, it was nice. When I did the Halloween party last week, people said that I'd lost weight, even though they're probably lying. It was just nice to be like, wow, Chris, we can see your jawline again. Somebody did come up to me and be like, wow, I can see your jawline again. It's like, I don't want to hear
people
that. Don't tell me that. Fuck you. Get out of my party.
I do love it when people get
security.
Things wrong. I do like it when people say things. You're like, I wouldn't say that to anyone else. But look, it's a testament to the quality of your output that people feel so comfortable to call you a big fatty.
Wow, Chris, you don't look like a roly-poly fucking bowling ball anymore. What I didn't mention when I was talking about the Halloween party, the Abroad in Japan Halloween party last week, what I forgot to mention is I had a bodyguard the whole night.
What?
That I was the venue, presumably they were worried about security, because it wasn't like it wasn't like an influencer type event where they have like a table and they sign shit. I was literally just walking around the party talking to everyone, right, which is really cool. There was three security people. One of them came over to me and he's like, "Chris, cool, you're also going to go, like, let's do it," kind of thing. And I was like, "Yeah." And I thought he was just a security for the party, just wandering around. But then I started turning around and he was there every step of the way.
Nice.
Everything I did, he was there to stop people. But it didn't really work. My friend had a toy gun and he whipped it out a few times and the bodyguard didn't do anything. So,
click.
What's the point?
You could have clicked your fingers and had him punch you them all in the stomach.
Absolutely. Kill him. Throw him out a window. At one point, I fell over backwards because there was something on the floor, I don't know. And he came like running over like, "Chris-san, don't do this." I was like, "Help me up. Help me up, bodyguard man." He didn't. I got my own self. But it went to my head, though. I did leave the party. At the end of the party, he was like, "Chris-san, arigato gozaimasu." They just fucked off.
Yeah.
While people were still at the party. So it was kind of like, what's the point? I could have been murdered in the last 20 minutes. The party was still happening. It was fun, though. And it made me think, why don't I have a bodyguard in general? That could be really fun. How much is a bodyguard, Pete? Do you know what's the going rate of a bodyguard?
I'll do it for 20 quid an hour. And I'll bring my own knives.
You've got a katana sword, haven't you?
I do have a katana sword somewhere, boy. Yeah. I don't know how sharp it is, somewhere. To be honest. I've never swung it in anger. But one day, if someone tries to get in my house, that's getting pointy-sticked.
Should have done that last week at your Halloween, when kids were coming for candy. Just open the door with a katana sword and be like, and just run down the street. Probably wouldn't have ended very well.
No, true.
But somebody triggered me today. They told me, "Chris, I like the channel, but I have some criticism. I want to see more. I used to like your channel when you did fish out of water stuff. Fish out of water, a guy in Japan who doesn't know what's going on." And it's like, wait a minute. I've been here 10 years. I've been to 47 prefectures, every single one. I've met the biggest rock star, the biggest film star. Mm. I've done eaten literally everything. How can I be a fish out of fucking water? I know this country better than I know England now. I'd be more a fish out of bloody water wandering around London or Manchester than I ever would in Japan. There's a point where you can't be the fish out of water dickhead anymore. Like walking around 7-Eleven going, "Oh, my strawberry sandwich. It's so different." To be fair, I saw a grape sandwich yesterday. I was quite astonished by that.
It's the cream that they add to them. They always add cream. Right. Too much cream, guys. Obsessed.
I just don't
think they would sort of last that long on the shelf if you're putting so much cream in them.
It's true. But how can I be a fish out of water but I'm not a fish? What am I now, Pete? A fish in the...
in the water
river.
That you love, yeah.
I love the water. I like that. It's just like, I don't know what I could do now. It's a tough thing, though. Right? I don't want to be the condescending dickhead foreigner. Oh, I already am. I don't want to play it up even more, though. I can't be here after 10 years and still be like, "Haha, Japan is so weird," because I get it now. I kind of understand how the mindset works. In many ways, I think the Japanese mindset makes more sense than the British mindset.
Yeah.
I still remember coming to the UK and just watching a man piss all over an ATM and think, what is this? Why is this happening? What's happened to this country? Or was it always this shit?
Yeah.
Because you don't see that in Japan.
You don't see people pissing everywhere.
No. But I pointed out to a friend of mine, he said, well, that's because the UK hasn't got public toilets.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah,
maybe the case, yes.
Yeah. They do have them.
Japan's
in 7-Eleven,
don't
they?
I don't know. But I'm coming back to the UK in, what is it, November, about 6 weeks now. Back to the UK for Christmas, and something I've been looking forward to. I've been home for Christmas since 2019. Mm. It's my favourite time to be in the UK. It's so good. Christmas in the UK is at its best. Christmas in Japan is kind of depressing.
Kind of weird.
Unless you really like the face of Colonel Sanders with a little Santa hat on, in which case it's great. But no, really looking forward to it. And I'm going to do I was thinking of doing a video comparing Tokyo to London.
Okay.
What do you think, Pete? What do you reckon? Tokyo versus
London. I would very much enjoy you doing a piece where like all 10 are like, "There's loads of Japanese people here. What's going on?" You've been really confused.
What? Fish out of water.
Yeah.
Like a fish out of water,
like a fish
dare
out
I
of
say.
Water.
Hey. We got a story this week from Ran from Toronto, who says, hello, Dirty Donny and Big Booty Broad.
Ooh la la.
I've been working for 3 years after graduating university and wanted to take some time off.
Ooh.
I've always loved everything about Japan, so I decided to spend 4 months there. This is just one of the weird encounters that I had. Tinder was all the craze back then, so I hopped on it as well. I matched with a lovely-looking woman who claimed to be 27, but when we met, she confessed she was 37, which made her 15 years older than me. No big problem, though. Anyway, as the date progressed, she started telling me about how she's divorced with a kid. I'd heard that Japanese don't divorce and instead cheated on their partners. So I it's fairly accurate. So I persistently asked her if she was actually divorced.
Right.
She gave in and told me that they were separated, but not legally divorced.
Mm.
At the end of the day, I wasn't feeling the lies, so I just hugged her and went my separate way. But when she texted me, I didn't hesitate to set up a second date. Naturally. Why not? Second date was much more normal. I guess since I knew the truth about her by now, or so I thought, she invited me back to her place for drinks, and things were going very well until a man and a kid walked in, ... They see me. And the man grabs the kid.
Are you my new dad?
No way. They see me and the man grabs the kid, apologises and goes into one of the bedrooms. I turn to her and she can tell from my expression that I'm not having it. She then told the real truth and said she was still living with her husband and kid for sake of appearances, but that they didn't love each other and were eventually going to get divorced. When she excused herself to use the washroom, I ran out as quickly as I could. Cheers, guys. Ran from Toronto. Holy shit. That's
wild.
So damn awkward. That makes me want to cry. But very believable. You know, I've heard that before. I know somebody who separated from their husband, had a kid, literally probably the same person in Tokyo. And yeah, she was still living with her husband. I think they were in separate rooms or something. Mm. But they do it for the sake of the kid. But yeah, it's more common than you think, the situation, I think. I think it's more common than you think.
Yeah.
Because people sort of get rushed into relationships, rushed into marriage, rushed into having kids in their late 20s in Japan. Often they don't have the connection with that person. It's just sort of, they just go along with it for the sake of it, due to stress. And then about 10 years later, they're not very happy. And then they do this, and they go on Tinder and meet people from Toronto. What's your assessment of the situation, though, Pete? What would you have done in Rand's shoes?
Oh, you don't want to know what I would have done. I probably would have found it very uncomfortable if that was a situation. Maybe the third date will go better, or weirder. Have a third date, come on. Have a third
I was half
date.
Expecting... P.S. I went out with her for the third day.
Yeah. And I am her.
What I don't understand, this is mental. Wait, but let's rewind a minute here. The second date, you don't do a second date at your house, do you? Ever? Right?
You're right. That seems pretty intense, perhaps. I guess something was on the cards, possibly. I don't know. What? So the second date is at... she invited back to her, so it started elsewhere,
yeah.
And then it got invited to, and then you're like, oh cool, this is going very well, but
there's just so much about this that annoys me, right?
Mm.
What she should have done is, I know, I love Hotel District, it's called Shibuya or Shinjuku, let's go there, or let's go to karaoke, or let's go to your hotel, or let's go for a walk through the fucking streets of Roppongi, I don't know.
Mm.
Don't go, oh yeah, come back to my house, where there's a 35% chance that my husband is going to walk in with my kid, creating a phenomenally awkward scenario. Like, isn't that insane? She must have thought, what? This is just, no, this makes me really angry. This is awful. Well, like, do you reckon the husband was like, she was like, don't come back with the kid, keep little Takeshi, you go and fucking have dinner. Don't come home, right? I'm going to be back with the date, sleeping with them on the second date.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, sure, I won't come back. I'm not going to be spiteful and bring the kid in and walk in on
it. Yeah, who knows?
And then he's like, fuck it, I'm going to get revenge now. And then walks in. There's just so much about this that just sounds like it must have been staged by the husband, or he wanted to do something, or the woman was not thinking rationally.
Mm.
I just don't understand. I just don't get it. Look, what do you think happened?
It's not how I would deal with things, but yeah, who knows?
Fish out of water, isn't it? Ram was a fish out of water in this scenario. Yeah. But good story there, good story. And I know a few people that use Tinder in Tokyo, and it always leads to some wacky scenarios. Mm. I mean, I recommend it. If you come here, you're single, you're bored, go on Tinder, see what happens, and for the love of God, send us the story.
Because yes,
they're always golden. We should dig out all of the Tinder stories and compile it into one epic podcast episode. The Abroad Japan podcast Tinder Compendium coming soon. But till that day, what is the news of the week, Mr. Dawson? What's going down in Japan?
Oh, it's big, baby. What is your greatest fear, Chris, just after Halloween has come and gone? What is your biggest fear? Does it involve being on a Ferris wheel and being stuck on that Ferris wheel?
Well, I'd say it more involves going on a second date at someone's house.
That is
and
true.
Then having their husband and child walking.
Exactly.
That's worse.
Yeah, that is worse.
I mean, I was at, I think it was Thorpe Park once, and there was a ride called the Saw Ride. This is a big theme park in the UK, for those of you who don't know it. And this ride has a precipice that you just drop off and sharply go down, and the roller coaster goes into the ground through a tunnel, right? Mm. It's a really scary ride.
Yeah.
And the Saw Ride literally got stuck at the point where it was supposed to go over the edge. Mm. And I watched for about 25 minutes as these, I think it must have been four or five people were stuck on this ride, looking downwards, wondering when the point was going to come, when the fucking carriage plummeted down.
Yeah.
That's my worst nightmare. But still, the second date thing is worse than that.
Still worse.
What have you got?
Well, at the family Island amusement park in Yubetsuka, Hokkaido. A mother and two kids got stuck at the top of a fucking Ferris wheel. At 3:45 p.m. on the 25th of September, the park staff were getting ready to wrap up the entire experience for the day. Started shutting down the equipment, including the Ferris wheel, and they just basically lost track of time, lost track of space and the situation, and they left a woman in her 30s and her two children under the age of 10. They left them suspended at a height of 30 metres at the top of the stationary gondola.
Oh my God.
Luckily, though, a family member was waiting for them in the parking lot at the time, so the mother managed to get on the blower, ring them up and sort of say, look, can you help? We're stuck at the top of a fucking Ferris wheel. It's absolutely horrible.
That's terrifying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, it's important to point out, well, you might think, it's right, they just stay the night in a Ferris wheel like you do. But in Hokkaido, at this time of year,
0 degrees.
Very cold. Yeah, we're talking 0 degrees Celsius. But you're not wrapped up.
Yeah.
You're dead. It could actually be hypothermia situation. So if this is the summer, it wouldn't be so much of an issue. But this is not good. But the mayor of the town came out and apologised, right?
I mean, why the mayor's involved? Fine, but I mean, like, if it was someone from out of the state, maybe visiting, but I really do not know why the mayor Tomoyuki Karita is issuing an apology on the town's website. I'm sorry about this. Sorry for the stress and anxiety of their time left behind. I mean, they were only up there for a short period of time. It could have gone a lot worse, but it is bloody freezing overnight. So I'm just glad they got found. Mm-hmm. I'm glad everyone's safe.
Honestly, Japan is. Do you imagine? I'm sorry you got stuck on the Ferris wheel. As a present, we want to give you free tickets to go back on the Ferris wheel the time of your choosing. You can go back up for free. That's the ultimate gift. But Japan's got some really scary Ferris wheels. I remember I took some friends to Osaka once, and we went up the Osaka Ferris wheel, which is it's near the SeaWorld area of Osaka, and we went up it, and it was a very windy day. And all of a sudden, sort of a third of the way up, we all sort of looked at each other and we were like, wait a minute, this is fucking terrifying. The entire gondola was shaking from side to side. It was like...
Right.
The wind was like howling through the window like... And I was like, I don't really want to be in this right now. Mm. In the same way I get a bit panicked when I'm in a plane and there's turbulence. I felt like that and I was like, how long is this going to take? I think it might have even had a see-through floor, which didn't help things. I've never really cared about Ferris wheels, but that was a massive Ferris wheel in Osaka. If you want a panic attack, go up that on a windy day, or go on the Dotonbori Ferris wheel in central Osaka, which is equally as rickety and equally as horrifying. What is it with Japan, these bloody Ferris wheels, honestly? What's wrong with me today? What's wrong with me?
You know where we're going now. We're going to a break, for crying out loud.
I'm terrified by all these facts.
Your head's been scrambled by the ascending gondolas.
You know what? I've been hit in the face about 20 times today. It's a miracle my brain is still able to operate.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. You're absolutely melting down.
Oh, my poor head. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, questions in the fax machine.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Yes, thank you very much to everyone who's got in touch via the email address. What's the email address, Chris?
AbroadInJapanPodcast@gmail.com. It's as long and as cumbersome as it was the day we set it up in 2018. We haven't thought of anything quicker.
We haven't thought of anything better. And
it gets rid of it, though. Cuts down all the crap, though.
Exactly.
Gets out the people that can't be willing to do that and go the extra mile for
us. It separates the wheat from the chaff. Yeah, exactly. Greg Lyles got in touch. Good afternoon, Chris and Pete, or any other guests. Me and my partner off to Hokkaido for a little explore in January. We're going to be staying in Hakodate, Sapporo, Asahikawa and Noboribetsu. We are well aware of the beer museum in Sapporo, probably for my enjoyment and probably not my pregnant fiance. But we're wondering if you had any good tips for things to do, see or eat. Greg, may I recommend the most dangerous carnival rides
That's so perfect.
Yeah.
That this question came up straight after that. There's a lovely Ferris wheel in New Bedsit.
There's a lovely Ferris. What a lovely Ferris wheel.
Oh my God, imagine being stuck up there with a pregnant fiance.
Yeah.
To add fuel to the fire.
There'd be we in the footwell.
Oh God. We'll be staying in Hakodate, Sapporo, Asahikawa, Nobori Betsu. Greedy, God, every greedy. Single good town ever.
Hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of good places, isn't it? Have you you've done your Sapporo, but you haven't done your Nobori Betsu or Hakodate, have you?
No. I've only done the main cities, to be honest. Yeah.
Hmm. I mean, what is there to do? What is there to do? Nobori Betsu, the hot spring town. They've got a wonderful geyser called Jigokudani Valley. I went there with Natsuki and Joey literally 1 year ago, actually. We can find a video on that. I think it's called Five Must-Try Dishes in Hokkaido or something like that. But in that video, we went to Nobori Betsu and Sapporo and covered a lot of great places there. Also been to Hakodate, which is very nice. It's got lots of crabs, these really terrifyingly big snow crabs and the really creepy crabs with long legs. I love crabs. All the crabs.
Creepy crabs.
It's also got one of the three good scenic sites in Japan. What was it called? The three big scenic night views of Japan.
Yes.
You know, Japan is always desperately clutching at straws. The one place you can appreciate these five kinds of rice or some shit. There's always something. And this is, to be fair, this is a good one. It's on a mountain overlooking Hakodate at the end of the peninsula, and it's a lovely view of Hakodate at night, all lit up, especially in the winter when it's all drenched in snow. But that's what I would say, though. Asahikawa, I don't really know anything about it other than it's got a very good zoo, and it's a bitch to cycle through, as I found out 2 months ago with Connor. But have a lovely time in Hokkaido. You've picked a very cool place to travel, Greg, and I wish you all the best with your fiance who's pregnant. Good luck.
You've
got one here from Tim, who begins, "Hello, CrossFit Chris and Coolish Pete. My name's Tim and I live in Sweden. Me and my girlfriend are cosplayers. As Japan is the birthplace of all things cosplay, I was wondering how common it actually is to happen upon random cosplayers in Japan. Have you encountered many during your time there? And what would you cosplay as if you wanted to? Thank you, guys. All the best from Tim." I mean, people don't generally cosplay outside of Akihabara or sort of Harajuku, right? What have you seen, Pete?
I've not seen massive. Yeah, you're quite right, actually. But also, I think it's a time of year thing, I suppose. And also, like, people sort of come out for cosplay get-togethers, I suppose, and bring on their best cosplayers, so to speak. So, I'd be on the lookout for that sort of thing, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, generally, you don't see it. You see people wearing some eccentric sort of Lolita costumes in Harajuku on the Takeshita Street, street which I just cannot stand it, but you have to go down there at least once, right? You know which one I'm talking about, right, Pete? The iconic street in front of Harajuku Station.
To that.
The big long one.
Yeah, a lot of popcorn.
Good pancakes,
for sale. Yeah, and waffles.
Popcorn and pancakes.
Love waffles.
Yeah, maybe it's not so bad after all. The waffles aren't that bad. Yeah, that's a good. And it's a very good Mexican restaurant around there as well. but I would say no. In short, no. But don't let that stop you, Tim. Come here in your favourite cosplay. As for me, I would cosplay as... What would you do, Pete?
Ooh,
I'm not very good at this sort of question.
Indiana Jones, but...
You know, I was actually going to say Indiana Jones as well.
Whoa!
That means we've both gone for the simplest clutching at straws answer that we could think of, rather than anything good.
I always do loads. I've done Edward Scissorhands about 5 times.
Edward Scissorhands?
Yeah.
I would spice things up. I'd go as some sort of dictator. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Idi Amin.
Great stuff. Yeah. Lovely.
I don't know. Colonel Gaddafi. I don't know.
Colonel Gaddafi. You do good Gaddafi. You do some great Gaddafi, I tell you what. Lovely old job.
What could possibly go wrong? Dressed as Colonel Gaddafi.
Correct.
Okay. We got one here from no one who has a name, but I'll hand that over to you, Pete.
Okay.
Dr. Jelly Cosplay.
It's the Dr. Jelly Cosplay that you mentioned on last week's show, or rather,
But there were two.
Wednesday show. There were two Dr. Jellies. Well, which
one? Narrow it down.
Identify yourself, Dr. Jelly cosplayer. Good day, Chris and Pete. You often mention your podcast and channel. To take that step, go out and do the things you want, even if you are anxious because you don't want to have any regrets. I totally agree. But I wonder, is that coming from experience? Were there any opportunities in Japan that you passed up that you now regret? Thanks, Dr. Jelly cosplayer, from your Halloween party. Chris, you are probably not someone who regards themselves as being insular or, you know, willing to kind of like step out of your comfort zone. Your life is one big dangerous world with lions and knives
and
bombs.
One big mental breakdown.
Have you sort of ever regretted not doing something that you really wanted to do?
Shyness is nice.
I love that song. Shane Morrissey went down the toilet, down the pan.
Correct.
With his dodgy
lot
views.
A lot of men of that age do.
God,
I'm planning on a vault fast, I tell you what.
It's so trippy when you know that song. What was it? It's by the Smiths, isn't it? I can't remember. Oh, Ask. It's called Ask by the Smiths. If you look at Morrissey in the 80s and Morrissey now, it's like two people. Honestly, what a shit show. Don't let that stop you enjoying the Smiths, though. Don't let that stop you. We've digressed. We've deviated. What was the question? I did regret my first year in Japan in many ways, in the sense that I didn't really do a lot. I'm currently writing a book about my sort of time in Japan, and a lot of the first chapters, obviously the first year, fish out of water. I didn't know what was going on. It was crazy. Strawberry sandwiches everywhere. But while I was experiencing Japan for the first time and living it and whatnot, I didn't really go and do a whole lot or meet any new people, or nothing fun happened. I think because I was quite anxious about not being able to speak Japanese, it kind of made me feel uncomfortable and weird. So I held off a lot. And then in the second year, I was like, right, now I know a little bit of Japanese, I'll go and do some stuff. And I went out. I met, literally in the same week, my then Japanese girlfriend. I met Natsuki. I met a guy who became my Japanese teacher, Ito-sensei. And like, the whole amazing life in Japan really kicked off in my second year, just because that first year, I did spend too much time indoors doing sod all, apart from studying. If I'd gone out earlier, if I'd gone out in those opening months and used the Japanese I was learning, I would have got a lot further and probably done a lot more cool stuff. So I regret that. I regret not going out and doing things. And my only advice is, if someone says, do you want to do this? Just always say yes.
Yeah.
Become a yes man or woman. Just say yes to things, because you never know where it'll take you. I remember I was reluctant to do... My friend Yuki asked me to do a business competition over the course of a weekend in Sakata, when I lived there, my second, third year. And I went there, and I was like, oh, I don't really want to go. And I went, and look, I didn't overly enjoy it. It was all right. But I met a guy there who introduced me to Ryotaro, and if I hadn't gone to that event, I would never have met Ryotaro, and I would never have ended up in Sendai living a very kind of awesome lifestyle here. On the other hand, though, I might have ended up in Tokyo making better videos, making way more money and being very happy. So don't know. We don't know, do we? We'll never know. Benefit of hindsight. But look, just say yes to things, and only good things can happen, unless it's bungee jumping or anything like that. Don't do that. Don't be caught.
Well, you can do bungee jumping. As long as it's safe. Can you?
Oh, you did it, didn't you?
I imagine like doing extreme sports in Japan is way more safe than doing it anywhere else, because they are very risk averse.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I watched a bungee jump video in a country that wasn't overly great once, and they hadn't tied the end of the cord to the bridge, and that was the end of that bungee jump. And I think that's the reason I don't feel comfortable ever doing a bungee jump, because I know while it's safe in most countries, it's still just like, is it worth the 10-second thrill to potentially just die? And as I watched Connor plummet off the edge of a ravine in his video that we did 2 or 3 months ago for his birthday, admittedly, I did think, nothing is worth that. He's 26, he's naive, he's a kid, he knows nothing of the world. I'm a wise old sage, 32, I'm so much more brilliant. But no, I don't know where this is going. Go and bungee jump, have fun, say yes to things, keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, all over again, but for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. podcast. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.